We are live. Welcome to the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast. I am your host, Chris Kirkwood. Screen name Kirk D's here with my co-host, my boy, the little under the weather this week. From his booster shot, apparently. So he scared me to get a booster shot, but glad he could muscle up here and take on this pod. We're doing it a little bit later in the week. We're recording it Saturday morning. But Brian, how you feeling, first of all, and what's going on?
Good, man. I've been upgraded to probable after being listed questionable for the last couple of days. So I'm good to go. Yeah, I'm excited to talk some NFL with you.
Yeah, I didn't know who we were going to have to, if we were going to have to scrap the pod or if I was going to have to pull up somebody from the practice squad. But we're good to go here. So week 11, we got a pretty decent slate, a ton of news, I would say, that's been breaking. Some things shattered yesterday. We'll talk about with Amari Cooper being out, Kamara's out again. There's just injuries all over the place in what has been a pretty weird season. Let's take care of some housekeeping first of all. This is presented by Yahoo. Yahoo is the place to play. If you're listening to this, you probably already know that, but they have the best tournament in the industry, in my opinion, by far. It's the $20 baller, $1 million baller, $20 entry, pardon me. And with 200K overlay. And I say this every week. So if you look up a management fee, it shows you right there on the screen, negative 25%. So Yahoo is losing 25%. They're just kicking in $200,000 of their own money in this contest every week. We should be playing that one as your first tournament. Plus, there's always lower rake anyway. There's overlay to be had in so many different contests there. New this year, they've done the single game NFL slates, Monday, Thursday, and Sunday night football. I've been playing pretty much every single one of them. I actually enjoy it. And they've got a lot going on. The new live final, which I haven't qualified for, but hopefully we'll get in there. But if you haven't signed up with Yahoo already and you're itching to play, because we're going to give you all the plays, use promo code GRINDERS25 for a free $25 bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's GRINDERS25. Yahoo will take care of you. All right. Week 11, 12 games this week, three with 50 point or higher totals, one with a massively high total that's probably going to get a ton of ownership, which is the Chiefs against the Cowboys. The Chiefs finally, played pretty well last week and had a decent game. I actually literally, when the slate ended at 7 o'clock, I hopped in my car and drove to the New Hampshire border to put a bet in on the Chiefs. So I won and hammered that one. I thought there was no way they weren't going to show up, and I got lucky and they won. So that was good. That kind of saved my weekend, because on Yahoo had a kind of a tough week. I kind of skipped over that, actually. So I made a few decisions last week that hurt me. I was literally like all set to just play the chalk lineup and just put Ramondre over Mark Ingram. And I ended up not doing that, even though I loved Ramondre Stevenson. But I played him heavily in the baller instead, which that kind of saved me. But, man, that would have been all I needed for the main lineup. Instead, I went up and paid up for Dalvin Cook. I faded Ingram. He got that touchdown late, which was kind of tilting. And then, I played Mike Williams and Herbert. So I never had it. Even if I thought I had a chance all day, I never had a chance once those 4 o'clock games. But you did pretty well on Yahoo. So how was your week overall?
So I actually had my highest return of the season on Yahoo. And again, I'm only playing for my bankroll challenge over there, where I started with $0 to start the year. And I'm now just over 900 bucks from zero, trying to get to the 10K mark. I don't know if I will, but last week it was one main lineup that kind of did it for me and finished in the top, top 0.5% in most of the contests that it played. And just looking to build on that this week. I think there's some good games to get to it.
Yep. So like I was saying, the three 50 point or higher total games, Dallas and KC is the one that's that stands out, as with a 56 point total. From there, we right under it, we've got the Bengals and Raiders at 50 and a half point total. I think that game could be pretty interesting. I wouldn't be shocked if it's kind of goes off or if it underperforms, but either way, but it's a game I definitely want exposure to. Then you got the Colts Bills game, Bills minus 7 with a 50 point total. Then there's a couple of teams that, you know, have great matchups, you know, on their end with high team totals, and that would be the Browns as their massive favorites over the Lions, and the Titans, who are massive favorites over the Texans, both with over 27 point team totals. Couple of up and pace games, or actually three of them. You know, I always go and I check the blitz for most game plays, and then I cross-reference that with Thorman's article over at Establish the Run, and on up and pace, and so they match again, which is what they always do. But it's Dallas KC, most plays in the blitz. Then behind that, it's the Seattle Arizona game, which it'll be interesting to get your take on, because I mean, Seattle just really was disgusting last week with Russ's first game back. That game was just a total bust. I thought it was going to be pretty good. And then we've got Miami Jets for the third most plays. So those are pretty much the high-paced games. Then we've got a bunch of other options. But overall, how's this slate looking to you, Brent?
Yeah, so obviously, I think everyone's going to gravitate towards the Cowboys and Chiefs game, and rightfully so, with the pace, like you mentioned, with the high total, Kansas City coming back to life last week. Good work driving across the border. You always know that's a degenerate move to drive across the border to get a bet in. So good work doing that.
And not only that, I had to like speed. I had to go like 90 down there just to get there in time.
That was a hell of a bet then. You must have had a lot of conviction to make that. So, but yeah, so you mentioned a couple of the other games. I like the Bengals and Raiders game as well. Seattle and Arizona is super gross to me, especially with Pete Carroll saying they need to run the ball more, which is always the solution for them. And that Miami and Jets game keeps popping up to me. And I imagine if you fast forward to the end of the show, that'll be my gross stack of the week. But I'm trying to find ways not to play it, but there are some good options in that game. It should be fast-paced. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if it finishes like 17-13, and I just hate myself for even considering it.
Yeah, and it can't be too gross. You're not looking at Flacco, are you?
I plead the
fifth. Oh, no. We'll get there. Okay, so that'll be interesting. That'll be fun. All right, so starting off at quarterback, I wrote, you know, what we typically do, we go each position, we do our top value plays, then our main preferred plays. Sometimes there's some overlap there, and then we do that for each of the positions. So we'll take that over to wide receiver after quarterbacks, and we'll go to running backs and bring it home with tight ends and then some stacks. But top values right away, this is a I don't really like this, the value range too much. I think I'm probably going to end up going to the top, but certainly for the baller and GBPs, I will have some exposure to some of these guys that I'm about to mention. But I said my top value, this is gross, Jimmy G, $23. Played pretty well last week, playing Jacksonville. Decent 7-point favorites. They are on the road. Jacksonville is 31st DVOA versus the pass. Their passing game is getting healthier, right? Like that's what stands out to me here. It's that, you know, Kittle looks amazing. So when we get to tight ends, I'm definitely going to like him. Ayuk is back, right? Like he's actually getting involved. He looks good. Debo Samuel has just been an absolute beast. There are some running game issues, you know, Elijah Mitchell being ruled out after they were touting all week that he was going to play with a pin in his hand, but that's not the case. So it looks like it's going to be Jeff Wilson as the running back value play of the week. But it may make them lean a little bit more on their passing game. You know, they're not a huge passing team, but the matchup is right. He's got all his healthy weapons, so I can get behind some Jimmy G. Other than that, Justin Fields kind of stands out on the cheap end for $21. First off, their defense is banged up. You know, it's getting worse and worse by the day. This is kind of a what could be a decent game with a lot of plays against the Ravens, whose defense hasn't been the best this season. The thing, Justin Fields is finally running again, right? So he had 8 and then 10 rushing attempts in his last two games. The problem is Baltimore ranks second in rushing yards versus opponent QBs, so they haven't been giving up much production. I didn't really dig in deeper to see if they which Russian quarterbacks they've played or anything, but that did stand out to me. But Baltimore is 24th DVOA versus the pass. They just lost Allen Robinson, so there should be some cheaper pairings, I guess. At least, you know, you could always use Komet. You could use Mooney. So I don't know. Fields would be my other guy for the cheap end. And one more I wrote down as honorable mention, which is going to be the game that you already kind of alluded to that you like. Tua is my guy at $25 in this range, is who I probably feel the best. And that's just basically on based off of matchup. I would start Head Chopper versus the Jets. So. Those are my cheapies. What do you got?
Yeah, it's a rough range this week. And fortunately, we have enough running back value, and there are some cheaper receivers that I don't think we have to go down and play a value quarterback in most contests, especially not in our main lineups. So, I agree. I think Jimmy G is probably the safest value down there. Fields probably offers the most upside. And Allen Robinson being out is probably helpful because then we don't have to waste any allocation in our tournament lineups with Allen Robinson, right? We could play some of the cheaper guys and not have to worry about just burning money playing Robinson. So I think Fields, at $20, running more, like you said, certainly probably the most upside. And I do like both quarterbacks, actually, from that Jets game, Tua and Flacco. But again, I don't think this is a week where you have to pay down a quarterback. We have enough value elsewhere. So then, to me, Chris, the conversation becomes which stud quarterback do we like the most for our main lineups? And to me, I'm debating between Mahomes in the highest total game and Lamar, who always offers a ton of floor ceiling combination. So I'm curious to get your thoughts on where you're leaning.
Yeah, so it's tough. So I wrote down all three of the big guns. So I put Lamar first, then Mahomes second. And you know, Lamar's $37, Mahomes is 36, and then Josh Allen is 41. It kind of makes it a little harder to play Josh Allen this week. And you know, Indy is somewhat of a decent defense, and so that matchup is a little bit tougher. But man, so it's like I've been struggling with this decision. So the thing is, Chicago doesn't give up much production to rushing quarterbacks. The Bears are 19 in DVOA versus the pass. You know, the thing about Lamar is it's been the touchdowns that have held him back, right? He's on pace for a career high rushing yards. So he's rushing more actual yardage than we've ever seen him, and 63 more passing yards per game than any time in the past. But the touchdowns haven't been there, and he's been in some tough game situations, or some, you know, when that one game that stands out to me where Devont, every running back on the team scored and Lamar didn't score. So, you know, that hurts. And then I'm a little bit worried about this game. The Ravens have jumped up 2 points in total favorite, which could be good, but it could be that this is a game where they don't have to lean on Lamar that much once they have it in hand. Cause I do worry about Chicago's ability to score in this spot. So I could see myself being like, okay, let's say I decide to not go with Lamar and I end up playing Mahomes. And then I can see myself kicking my, you know, just being upset at myself, being like, Lamar was always the play, you know, when he scores two or three rushing touchdowns, or he's passing at will in this team and goes off and you get the rushing upside and Mahomes kind of underwhelms a little bit, or vice versa. I could totally see that, you know, if I play Lamar and Lamar, you know, the game struggles to put up a bunch of points, like Chicago doesn't really do anything and it's kind of an easy week and Lamar doesn't have that much production. And then Mahomes goes off in a barn burner that goes back and forth like everyone's expecting with the massive total. And then I'm kicking myself for, why didn't I just play the passing QB with two elite weapons in a game that's like the marquee game of the week, and I decided to fade it, right? So it's like, this is Saturday morning today, and I don't have any conviction on one versus the other at this point.
It's tough, man. It's tough. And I will say, maybe the edge in Lamar's favor is that Chicago, they're still missing, and now even more defensive pieces, right? Khalil Mack's still out. Akeem Hicks is going to be out. potentially Eddie Jackson is out. So that always helps his case. But I think, you know, to break a tie for the main preferred lineup to go with a game in a 57-point total that's supposed to be close, can always – we've seen this before, right? Can always blow out one way or the other. But Mahomes and the fact that I don't think Dallas is going to change their defense too much to try to copy what these other teams have been trying to do to slow down the Chiefs passing game, which I think should help them tremendously. So I think, the choice is between those two guys. And I really don't think you can go wrong with either. But to me, Chris, the real interesting situations are in tournaments, because you can go to Dak on the other side of that game, who will get lower ownership. That Vegas-Cincinnati game we both like. Joe Burrow, Derek Carr, I think, offer a ton of upside. I think there are a lot of ways, because the field is going to concentrate on a couple of quarterbacks. All these other guys are going to be sub 10%. I think they offer a ton of upside.
Yeah, and then we also have, I mean, is Kyler Murray going to end up playing?
True.
And if Kyler Murray ends up playing, like, the price at 34 is much more reasonable now. And then there's Tannehill, right? Like, without, you know, they're even more depleted at the running back position this week, and looks like a smash spot for A.J. Brown, right? So yes. I think how I'm going to determine the Lamar versus Mahomes for my main lineup, it's going to be who do I put the priority on at wide receiver, because I'm probably going to be paying up for one wide receiver, right? So is it going to be Devontae Adams or is it going to be Tyreek Hill? True. And so because if I play Mahomes, I'm going to want to stack him, or you know, I could go with Kelce at the tight end position. But it's going to be, do I want to favor one of those guys? And if I don't, then I'm probably just going to have to take the safer rushing upside route with Lamar, and then and play him naked, or I could play him with Mark Andrews or Hollywood or whoever. But naked Lamar would be fine for me. But for GPPs, you're right. I mean, there's going to be so much ownership, put on Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, that like guys like right below him, Joe Burrow, Tua, even Derek Carr. Like you said, Dak, like all of these guys aren't going to be as owned as they should be. So it should make sense to put a higher weighting on those guys and try to separate yourself here.
Agree. Totally agree. Any other guys that we haven't mentioned that you like for tournaments?
I don't really like anyone.
Yeah, the lower range is so gross. And then I think there are a couple of key games that, are all for the easiest spots at quarterback. So I don't know if you need to get too different there.
I think I end at Dak. I don't really want to play Jalen Hurts. Maybe I play some of him.
Yeah, I don't think you need to anymore. Because, I mean, yeah, they're obsessed with running the ball. So let them keep running and we'll play other quarterbacks.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers. But that's just going to come with Devontae anyway. So, I mean, that I will have some Aaron Rodgers, but yeah, I don't think we need to get lower, because like that range is pretty stacked. I think there's a lot of upside in Joe Burrow, Tua, Kyler if he plays, Tannehill, who certainly could rush for a touchdown or two in this game himself. It's just such a nice matchup against Houston that I really think that Tannehill could pay off this week. All right. Yeah, let's take it over to wide receiver. Top values. We do have some decent value plays here, and I'm going to have a lot of them. T. Higgins is $15. Everyone played him last week. I didn't, but I was wondering if I should have. It's just he's great usage, right? Like the things here, five games without a touchdown, right? Like touchdown positive regression should be coming, because the usage is there. Joe Burrow is passing more and more and more every single week. This game is a sneaky game to shoot out a little bit with the Raiders. So I like that. On the other side of that same game for value at $15 is the old reliable Hunter Renfro for $15. Now that Ruggs is gone, there's just even more targets up for grabs. But like he's always been consistent with the targets, like pretty much 5 to 9 targets each week, like somewhere in that range you can count on. TDs in each of his last two games. So they do look his way in the end zone. Darren Waller has just been missing. No idea what's been going on with him. But And then one more for $16 is, you know, Jalen Waddle, you know, a really talented receiver who's getting more familiar with Tua each week. Their passing game with Tua should be okay, but it's the Jets, right? 32nd DVOA versus the pass. Teams can do whatever they want against this defense. And in Waddle's four starts with Tua, 37 targets. So we're looking at about 9 targets a game there. So for $16, I'll take that. He's also in those games had 3 touchdowns and should continue to get better and better each week. And Parker is still out. Those are my cheap values. What do you got?
Yeah, so Waddle for sure, and we always see rookies typically perform better in the second half of their rookie year than the first half, so that should mean good things for Waddle. T. Higgins, yep, I agree with him. Hunter Renfrow, yep, I agree with him. And then there are a couple other guys that either have some sort of narrative or teammate absence that boost them as well. So Jarvis Landry, they're talking about they need to get him the ball more. His target share has been great, but they've had some really weird game scripts the past couple of weeks. Landry's due for a big game. Darnell Mooney, without Allen Robinson now, he should see he should be the number one receiver there. Christian Kirk with DeAndre Hopkins still out. Hopefully Kyler Murray's back. That will help Kirk's outlook as well. And then, of course, Michael Gallup, who gets a big boost, returned last week, played a decent amount of snaps. Now Amari Cooper is out. Gallup should be the number two behind CeeDee Lamb in the game we like the most on the entire week. So I think, I mean, we have a handful, 5, 6, 7 guys that you can pick from in that lower tier range. And that doesn't even include that sweet spot, $18 to $24 range that we normally look to.
Yep. I haven't even been looking in that range too much typically because the plays are so nice in the $15, $16 range, and then the higher end plays are so nice too.
It does feel like a Stars and Scrubs week at receiver compared to what we normally do, because I really only saw AJ Brown and Hollywood in that middle range compared to all these other guys in the ranges you just mentioned.
So Brown is like a lock to me. For my main lineup, Brown is an absolute lock, right? Last 2 weeks, he's had tough games, but that was against Ramsey and Lattimore, right? Now he gets a cupcake matchup. Julio Jones still out. No Derrick Henry, obviously. Their running game is, you know, not very good at this point. And he should be able to beast against this Texan secondary. Brandon Cooks makes for an easy run back. And I think Brandon Cooks can have some success in this game because I don't think that the Tennessee defense is that good. They've just been in some good spots lately. So Cooks, I can get behind. So that he's one of that 18 to 24 range. And, you know, Brown is 23. So that's right there. But other guys in that range, let's see. Oh, man, I went down with Tyler Lockett last week. That's who was in my main lineup, too. Man, that was rough. Yeah. No thank you on DJ Moore because I just can't see Cam. Maybe, but I just feel like Cam is just going to take away more. He's just going to run more, and McCaffrey's coming on. So I just think it's the Moore days are over. But the range I love is the higher range. You know, I mean, I love Deebo Samuel. Yeah. Number one in the league in yards per out run. I mean, he's just been ridiculous. They do designed run plays for him. He's 29. You can pair him cheaply with Jimmy G. And it's just the matchup that you like against Jacksonville. I did bet the 49ers. I'm a little scared of it, but I did bet on them this week. So I'm hoping that they show up here, even though they're across the country in the early game. But I think they will. Davante Adams is the main decision for me. It's do I want to go with him or do I want to go Tyreek? Tyreek is in the marquee game with the total. The high total pairs extremely well with Mahomes. But, you know, Davante Adams is just so consistent, right? Like, and the problem with him is that he just hasn't had the touchdowns. I do think they're coming. In 8 games with A-Rod this season, 84 targets. He's an elite, you know, weapon. The Vikings are number 17 in pass DVOA versus number one wide receivers. Patrick Peterson probably still out. And he's smashed, not that it really matters, but he's smashed the Vikings every time he plays them. So he's kind of the guy I probably want first. you know, you can make the case for Tyreek on me right now and change my mind pretty easily if you want to.
I mean, the high end range is so good this week. So you mentioned Debo, Devontae, Tyreek, right? And then Jamar Chase in that Raiders game, Stephon Diggs, you know, DK Metcalf, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb now with Cooper out, even more targets. Yeah. So like lots of guys to choose from. I mean, I love all of these guys, and it's really tough to narrow down which ones. I guess my question to you would be, as we move over to the running back position here in a second, because we do have some value running backs from the same teams as these guys, does that impact your decision at all? Like, let's say Jeff Wilson and Debo, do you have any problem playing them together, or AJ Dillon and Devontae together, or in your main lineup, are you looking to spread it out a little bit more?
So in my main lineup, I could probably convince myself to play Wilson and Debo together only in the main lineup, because that's more like a cash driven, right? You know, it's 10 man contest. It does have some other, you know, there, I do play GPP type contests, but they're usually smaller stuff like 20 man entries and stuff. So I could convince myself to do it. I would probably shy away from it. Like, it's not what I want to do, but I could probably allow myself to do it just because of the price on Wilson. He doesn't need much. It's like one touchdown and you're probably good. And he's got multi-touchdown upside in this offense, right? Especially with like lack of other, you know, they just showed no willingness to give the ball to Trey Sermon whatsoever.
good draft pick.
This season. Yeah, I mean, I drafted him high too. But like for the baller, I'll probably make a rule, I think, to play one or the other, Wilson or Debo, because I probably won't. I probably takes away from Debo's upside, you know, and Debo, you know, may get one of those designed run plays again, and that would take away from Jeff Wilson. So to answer your question, in the big, large field baller, I would probably not play them together. But in my main lineup, I could do it. Probably won't, but may do it. So let's segue over to running back, because there are a lot that we got stacked cheap plays again. So first one obviously is Jeff Wilson. Elijah Mitchell's out. He is going to be the lead back.
Just playing
anybody, right? I would play head chopper behind this offensive line in this offense with Shanahan at running back, you know. So You just play him in this situation, in my opinion.
It's the same as Dearness last week, right? I get these questions every week, and a lot of our content always focuses on it. But just, you get these cheap guys with volume and good offenses, just in good rushing offense. Just play them and do not worry about it.
Yeah, Dearness let me down. I went like 80% of him in the ball. I went like super high with him in the baller. I mean, he did fine.
Yeah, he did fine. But I mean, it's like the worst game script possible. He scored what, like 17 Yahoo points or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly. And like Mark Ingram, who I thought was the fade, just shows to show you, when these guys are priced so cheaply down at like 14, it doesn't take much for them to you know, like I thought like, oh, I going in this like Dalvin is gonna be this big separator for me. And it's like there was not any separation really. Because it's just, you know, volume, and if they sneak in the end zone, then it's they're there. So so I wrote him down. Miles Gaskin, I'd play head chopper against the Jets at running back. $18, Jets 31st DVOA versus the run. I mean, you can do whatever you want in this team. There's production to go around for everyone. Miles Gaskin will get in the end zone at least once this week. Does have that bad offensive line that he runs behind, but like for all of his inefficiencies with running, there's just not much competition behind him. And this is a matchup where he should be extremely efficient in. So I'll take him there. I wrote down Michael Carter, but like the more I think about it, I'm probably going to end up fading Michael Carter, but there is good reasons to play him. 52% of the snaps, even though with Tevin Coleman back, 19 or more touches in 3 of 4 games. He's getting targets, 6 targets. The question is Flacco going to check down as much as like a Wilson would? I don't know. I don't think so, but who knows? Mark Ingram is in play again at $19, and I'll leave the must play for you to mention in a minute.
So AJ Dillon, as I assume who you're discussing. Yeah. So we get Dillon, extremely affordable price. He only has to compete with Patrick Taylor, who I didn't even know was a person until last week. So yeah, it's easy must play him, Jeff Wilson. And then you have other guys, Gaskin Carter, Mark Ingram, Daryl Williams. If CEH isn't activated from the injury reserve, Daryl Williams only $15. Deontay Foreman, if you want a pivot, no Jeremy McNichols, just competing with Adrian Peterson against the Texans. But to me, you just play Dillon, you play Jeff Wilson. And then the question to me, Chris, is this week, do we play three value running backs, or do you save that third spot for a stud running back? Because we do have Dalvin, Christian McCaffrey, who was pretty expensive on Yahoo. But I guess that's the key question for me in a main lineup.
Yeah, that was another 2v2 that I wrestled with, was Diggs McCaffrey versus Dalvin Mike Williams. So it was the stupidest, stupidest decision. McCaffrey's priced, like, I'm upset that they jacked him up to 40. I was hoping like maybe he'd be like $32 or $33, right? Like they put him up like a dollar or two. I think Jonathan Taylor, so the on the high end, we're talking here. So the Bills defense, yes, they're great, but they, Tremaine Edwards, I believe, will be out, and he's a run stuffer. And I think somebody else is out on that team. So,
The defensive lineman star, Lotulelei. Yeah, so that helps too.
Yeah. So it's a little bit better of a matchup, and people probably aren't going to play him too much this week. So I think that makes for a good GPP play. James Conner, I went heavy on last week. Saved the day with a touchdown, I guess. Like, he didn't kill you, but certainly didn't help your lineup playing him last week. And what was a great spot, he got it jacked up to $31. So he's going to be extremely low owned. He's got, you know, multi-touchdown upside. That's what he has, is multi-touchdown equity. In two of his last three games, he's got two touchdowns against Green Bay and against San Francisco. So certainly go there. And then we got like that $28-$27 range is mighty interesting, because the price drop on Dalvin, yes, in what it could be a very good, you know, game with Green Bay is certainly interesting. Green Bay 24th DVOA versus the run. He had six touchdowns in two games versus the Packers last year. It's just something I always remember, is Dalvin against the Packers. Yeah. And so, take advantage of that lower price. So I will have a bunch of him. I don't know what else to do from there. You got any other guys?
Zeke and Mixon, I guess, have to be mentioned. Nick Chubb is a 14-point favorite.
Zeke in the marquee game for sure. The price is somewhat reasonable. He was $34 last week. He's now in this marquee game with a 56-point total, and he's down to 28. So certainly interesting play there. Obviously, Pollard is not what we, you know, it does take away from every Pollard touch takes away from Zeke, but Zeke has the end zone equity, the red zone equity. So I could see that working out. Who else we got?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's just some easy plays. I think you just play those guys, and then you get all your different exposures to receivers, you know, mix in some of these stud running backs. It's AJ Dillon's Jeff Wilson. Figure out the rest, because those guys are such good plays this week.
Yep. Totally agree. Excuse me. All right, let's go over to the wide receiver position. Tight end position. Sorry. I was dealing with the cough here. It threw me off. I don't really care about tight end as you per usual, but this week we're stacked. We've got on the high end, we've got Travis Kelce for $30. Used to be a higher price. He's definitely regressed a little this season. People are saying, oh, is he old? I think it's just been some crazy games that the Chiefs have been, a lot of turnovers and whatnot. But I like him. George Kittle, I love. On the cheap end, we do have some plays. Dallas Goedert for 14. I had him last week in my main lineup, but he went down with that concussion right off the bat, which was annoying. But he's back this week, and he's $14. I think that's something, a spot to take advantage of. Dan Arnold is kind of just like that safety, cheap, top value, 8 target average over the last 3 weeks, 60 or more yards in each of those games. I don't know. Then we still got Waller. And then Dalton Schultz obviously should get an uptick here with Amari Cooper being out. But who are you gravitating towards?
Yeah, I was looking at the same guys, right? It's like, do you pay down and go to Goddard, who's way underpriced for his role, assuming he doesn't get concussed on the first play again? Dan Arnold, way too cheap. Or do you pay up for the studs, like you said, Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Darren Waller, Mark Andrews? And that leads me to the last guy you mentioned, Dalton Schultz, who obviously gets an uptick without Amari Cooper in the highest total game of the week, should go overlooked at that price point. So he's my favorite tournament play for sure. But there's just so many guys. And this is the position you fill in last and whoever fits your lineup the best. Because in addition to those guys, we also have Mike Gesicki against the Jets. We have Dawson Knox in that Bills game. Like, there's a bunch of guys that play this week. And like you, I'm not too thrilled to pick one guy from this position. I'd rather just wait to see how the rest of my lineup looks, fill it in last, because I think they're good options at every price point.
Yeah, so like it's kind of like a lot of tight end plays this week, which isn't normal. So like you said, that we got that range, and then Hockenson, I have no faith in with the QB situation going on right now. So I probably won't have much of him. But like a guy like CJ Uzoma has like the nut matchup for tight ends against the Raiders. But like, it's kind of sticker shock to see him at $17. This is a guy we didn't really want to play at min price. But like, he's had two massive games this season, and now he heads into this great matchup, and so provides a lot of leverage off of guys like T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, who's min price. We didn't even mention that, and I don't think, and Jamar Chase. So like, it wouldn't shock me if he rolls off a massive game. And then Anthony Firkser, who's like been dead and like not a part of this offense that we expect him to be, but like Jeff Swaim is out this week. So, they don't have the rushing game weapons that they're used to. Julio Jones is out again. So like I could see Firkser at least getting in the end zone for sure. Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to play it this week. Kind of feels like going like 10 deep in my pool or something like that for tight ends.
Yeah, I actually think going deeper than you usually would for this position is definitely the way to go, because like you said, normally we're talking like, okay, we maybe like these two guys this week, but they're legit like 10 guys this week in the position. So yeah, a lot of different ways to play it.
Yep. All right, let's close it out with our favorite stacks. On the high end, I'm going to give, Aaron Rodgers is not going to be owned. Devontae is going to be owned. So I'm going to just make them an easy pairing, leverage off of the Dylan, and hope they go back to the last year Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams connection, and you get a multi-touchdown game out of him. Maybe Rodgers runs one in. That'll be like one of my favorites. And then for a gross one, I don't even know. I don't even have it. I'm gonna leave it to you, because you're going gross. Give me your gross one that you said you already alluded to.
Okay. Well, I'll give you my same leverage stack first, and that's the Dak side of that game, right? With everyone going to be on the home side, we're going to get Dak less than 10%. We got multiple weapons to pair him with. That is your reasonable leverage GPP stack. For your bankruptcy hearing stack of the week, it's Tua and either Waddle or Gesicki running back with a jet.
Do we even have to run it back with a jet?
Probably not, honestly. Probably not.
This week, because you can. It's not like last week. I literally, who did the Jets play last week?
Who did the Jets play last week? It was so long ago, 6 whole days ago.
I know, and you know what? And we've got NBA going on, so it's like my brain is just like
mush. Right. Can't remember. I'm actually still thinking. I don't know who they played last week.
I'm looking it up. So. They played Buffalo. So I ran just single Josh Allen stats with no bring back. That was the only QB. That was the only QB game that I did no bring back with.
Gotcha.
I think that's in play every week, that you don't have to bring it back with a jet until proven otherwise. But Michael Carter would be the guy for me, probably.
If you want to bring someone back, you could just play the Flacco side, and then you bring it back with a Dolphin, and then you're good. is that okay enough to close out the show?
That's it. Everyone's going to be rushing to make their Flacco lineups, I'm sure. Watch them crush, man.
It's so great.
It'll be interesting week. So, all right. I hope you have a good week, man. I hope I do too. Got all day to start messing around with some stuff here and making groups and whatnot. And let's crush it this week.
Let's do it.
All right. This has been the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast, week 11 edition, and we'll be back next week. See you then. Thanks.